All right. So I think I've got everything put together here. Although, oh, there it is. I can see it coming through the Instagram too. I'm getting better at this, as we go.
Nice. Good.
All right. Today, everyone, we're going to talk about establishing corporate credit or business credit. I've got Andrew here with me. We're going to kick things off with the intro reel, and then we're going to get right into it.
I'm David C. Barnett, and you're tuned in to Small Business and Dealmaking, the podcast, YouTube channel, and blog, where I talk about buying, selling, financing, and managing small and medium-sized businesses while controlling risk. So if you're looking to take control of your future through buying a business one day, or if you already own a business and you're looking to grow or exit, you've come to the right place. I talk about interesting things, I talk to interesting people, and I answer your questions every week right here. So be sure to hit like, and be sure to hit subscribe, and let's get to it. Are you thinking of growing your business or beginning a journey into entrepreneurship? Take a shortcut to success by buying an existing and profitable business the right way. Visit businessbuyeradvantage.com and learn more about my online training, group coaching, and consulting services designed to help you win.
Awesome. We've already got people, guests piling in to talk with us here today. A few of them. We got Kevin here in Lakeland, Florida, says good afternoon from Lakeland, Florida. Hey, Kevin, how are you today? And Mark is joining us from Arizona already. Hey, Mark, how are you this morning? Good to see you. And Victor over in the UK has given us a like. So that's a reminder to everyone. Please like the video. Andrew Cervenka, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, and Andrew's joining us from the Milwaukee area, and we're going to be talking today about corporate credit. So I want to kick things off just by giving you an opportunity to kind of introduce yourself, a little bit about your background and how you got into this whole space, and then we'll kind of dig into what you do and how it works.
That sounds great. So, majority of my career since about 2006, I was attached to the automotive industry. The last 10 years of that leading up to me moving over with Jay Galt. I was a territory sales manager for a truck accessory company here in the Midwest. A lot of travel time, a lot of time on the road. So, wife and two small children, I needed to make a change and seek other opportunities. And came across Jay Galt in the summer of 22 and really started learning about what they did and how they operate, and realizing that I was talking to business owners all the time, deep client lists of small business owners. No idea anything like this existed. My old man, my father was a small business owner, and knowing what I know now, I'm definitely looking more at dipping my toe in entrepreneurship and creating my own businesses for additional streams of rent income and whatnot, because of just developing this credit tied to the EIN is so powerful. And it's just a sad fact that the majority of business owners don't know it's an option for them.
And so let's talk about how most small business owners operate in their business, because many small business owners will get maybe an SBA loan, for example, or any other kind of bank loan. And of course, when you do that, even if you have an LLC or a corporation of some kind set up, the bank is going to ask you to personally guarantee that loan. And then a lot of the times people will get into business operations, they'll realize through their purchasing and whatnot, it'd be really handy to have a credit card. So they call up their banker, they get a credit card, and it might even have the business's name on it, but they are still personally attached to that, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Anytime you have a business credit card that says business on it and it's got the business name and your name attached to it, that generally, that is personally guaranteed. So it's not that it's reflecting on your personal credit at all, but it's not meaning that it's working towards building that credit for your corporation. Roughly 93% of the business institutions out there do not report to any one of the three business credit bureaus, the major ones, Dun and Bradstreet, Experian Business, Equifax Business. So it's filling in those gaps in the knowledge of knowing who's reporting and at which level of business credit they're reporting to build those scores and achieve that corporate funding opportunities where it's no longer tied to you personally, no personal guarantees attached to the EIN. So
we're going to get into a lot of different angles on this through the conversation today, but can we start out, a lot of people have probably got a little bit of experience or knowledge about how personal credit scores work, and if you pay a bill late, it's going to be reported to the credit bureau, and it could affect your score and stuff like that. Can you talk a little bit about how that kind of system of reputation recording sort of works in the world of business to business transactions?
Yeah. It's the scale for business credit is 0 to 100. So it's a little more cut and dry. You know, you get to, and a lot of business owners are familiar with Dun & Bradstreet. You get your DUNS number, and they might not even know that there's a score attached to that, but 0 to 100 is that scale. And you want to be at 80 plus, though then you fall into the trap of there are four tiers to business credit where you're building this and graduating, you know, the limits start to rise. And to get that that full separation, you want to be at the top tier, tier four and 80 plus. And that's where your entity is grown up. Your child is grown up and no longer needing a cosigner, i.e. you, to personally guarantee that note for itself. So it's a little more black and white scale than a 350, 850, 900, what have you, with a FICO. So it's but yeah, in a nutshell, 0 to 100.
So, and the way that the data gets collected is that your business opens an account somewhere and you buy something on credit.
Correct.
And so a lot of businesses out there will order something from a supplier and they'll be given 30 days to pay. Mm-hmm. But what you're saying is the key is that not all of those suppliers are actually reporting to these people, right?
Correct. Yes. That's where I had mentioned, yeah, roughly 90, 93% of them do not report to the business credit bureaus because it costs money to report positive things to the business credit bureaus. It doesn't cost them money to report negative things, unfortunately. So if you are in business and you're not paying your bills on time repeatedly, you might see some negative hash marks against your business credit profile. But with not having anything positive reporting to it, you're kind of stuck in that hole of negative and not having good things to try to even it out and bring it back up to where it should be. So,
okay. So can you talk a little bit about the progression here? Cause I mean, with personal credit, you know, people start off, they get maybe a small Visa or MasterCard with a $500 limit and, you know, they demonstrate that they're responsible with that. And then they start to get offers for other things, or maybe they qualify for a secured debt, like a car loan or something like that. Can you talk about that progression with this business-based credit?
Yeah. So we'll just use the example with us. We have a platform that houses a lot of these partnerships with the vendors and accounts that do report to the bureau. So we know where they're reporting and their underwriting criteria and at what tier they are. So generally a business comes to us, whether they're brand new or quite a ways into the journey, because nothing's been reporting, we're essentially starting from fresh. So we're looking at commonly referred to as trade line accounts in the tier ones, you know, the picking and choosing the like Uline and Grainger, where you're getting a net 30, net 60, whatever their terms are, but it is $2,000, $3,000 limits here and there. So it's really...
And for people who aren't familiar with those names, Uline is a place where a business would order like a bundle of cardboard boxes.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
They're sort of common business supplies. And yeah, Grainger is a lot of industrial, like just the everyday things you need in any kind of industrial business, a company like Grainger is selling.
But I checked out their website not too long ago, and they have televisions, exercise equipment. If you go to the Grainger website, it's actually kind of shocking that it's turned into more of a Walmart, just less advertising spend to tell people that they do have that kind of stuff. But so you can just getting a little more creative with how you're paying for your business expenses already. Just shifting, you know, I'm going to buy that cleaning supply. Well, don't just pick it up at Walmart. Buy it from Uline or something like that, and have that spend being reported and captured on your profiles.
Okay. And so I'm buying from Uline and they're reporting that I'm paying the bill on time. And then this starts to build that corporate credit score. And then this will open the door to other opportunities.
Correct. Yeah. As it's about if you pay attention and do it and you continually utilize these accounts month over month, you're a lot of them have a low threshold, minimum of $50, $60 to spend a month with them to get them to report. So if you're doing that consistently over 3 months, you know, the charging and paying and the bill and the credit starting to build, then your scores are building and then it starts opening the doors for more business credit cards in the tier two range. I believe Lowe's and Home Depot are in the tier two, tier three range, something like that. So it's starting to get more impactful on things that are easier to use these accounts to spend with fuel cards and different strategies there to shift those expenses and start seeing the limits grow and grow and grow on your accounts with these vendors.
So, I mean, I've got a little bit of experience with this through my own business background. I mean, when I, like years ago, I used to own a junk removal business, and we had fleet cards for the trucks. Mm-hmm. And so I remember that we had to fill out extensive information. I mean, I'm probably pretty sure that I had to sign something saying I was responsible for the account, but I had to, they started us off with a pretty low limit based on what we estimated our fuel expenditure was going to be. Mm-hmm. But then after 6 or 8 months, I started to get letters saying that my limit was being increased and things like this.
Yeah.
And I also spent a couple of years working for American Express in their corporate card division. And for a lot of my clients, that particular card was the first time that many of their businesses got true corporate credit in the business's name.
Yeah.
Without that personal guarantee. Mm-hmm. So it's obviously, you know, we were the underwriting department was looking at the financial performance, but they were probably also looking at things like those Dun & Bradstreet reports and things of that nature.
Yeah. Utilization and all that stuff. Because corporate credit is built through positive payment history and utilization. So the more you use of it and paying bills early, not waiting for statement days, paying a few days early to guarantee nothing's being reported late, That is how it builds. So getting to that that corporate credit profile, the corporate credit size qualifiers is that progression, that natural progression of moving up through business credit cards, getting to corporate credit, which is tied to the EIN only. So it's just a natural progression.
So can you tell me what sort of the most ideal candidate is for undertaking a project to build this kind of credit? Because I'm assuming it depends on the kind of inputs your business has, what you're buying.
Yes, of course. The businesses that naturally have the higher expenditures, restaurants and the trades, the trades are a big target market for myself, just because they have vehicles, equipment, a lot of net terms with different vendors and things where they can really funnel more of their business expenses through these accounts that are reporting and building that score more rapidly. I mean, if there is a small business, say you're a small coffee shop, but your goal is to start building that credit because you want to buy a property and maybe you're buying a 5 business storefront suite where you're occupying one space and leasing out the other 4. If that's your goal, then starting down this journey, because even if you build your corporate credit and you get, say, $100,000 of credit limit available to it, that's $100,000 of that you can put towards buying that property that you're not personally guaranteeing. Then you might have to guarantee the rest of the note. But, if you can chip away at it and move down some of those limits, then why not? Why not access that kind of capital and take advantage of this system that all the big boys play in,
Well, okay. So I've seen videos on YouTube before where people are talking about corporate credit, and it's almost like they talk about it like it's somehow free money. Like, you have to build your corporate credit and then you have all this corporate credit, et cetera, et cetera. But at the end of the day, it's still just borrowed money. And it's got to be paid back.
Yep.
So what then are the big advantages of having a business that is able to take advantage of corporate only based credit versus what most small business people do, which is they just call their bank, they get a credit card, mm-hmm. and yes, they're attached to it. But they just operate. It works well. I mean, the card works, they make their charges, et cetera.
Yeah.
So what's the big difference between these two categories?
Well, first and foremost, it's personal asset protection. If you can not sign a personal guarantee attached to funding to buy a property, it's tied to the EIN only, you're protecting all of your assets from that business dealing. So should things go sideways, you're at the end of the day, then you're not personally liable for it. So it's attached to the entity. I mean, the greatest example of that I can give is our former president, Mr. Trump, 7 business bankruptcies or something like that. And he protected all of his personal assets by having everything tied to the EINs of his corporations. And it's obviously, yes, it's not free money, but the rates are generally as strong, if not a little bit stronger. I'm not going to get into quoting rates or anything because this is recorded, but you know, if you have the best credit, you're going to get the best rates at that time, you know, and that stands true for the corporate side as well. So if you're strong, if you're in that tier 4 80 plus scores, you're going to get the best rates available at that any given time. But then also a corporation limits are generally can be built to 20 to 50x what you can secure with attaching yourself to a personal guarantee on funding. So it's a more capital availability and not falling back on you should the worst happen. Obviously, we're all responsible business owners here. I'm not saying, again, it's not free money, but if you can get it at equal to or a little bit stronger on a percentage interest rates, then yeah, you're taking advantage of a much stronger system.
But, you know, usually with personal credit, I mean, ultimately it's driven by the individual's income, right? Mm-hmm. And so with business credit, I mean, what are the drivers behind credit limits at the end of the day? Is it just history and the ability, demonstrated ability to keep things current and repay them? Or are they tied as well to the size of the business, your revenue?
You hit the nail on the head. It is all based on utilization and payment history. Like in our presentations and in a consultation that I have with the business owners, we talk about that sometimes. There was two examples we bring up on some Experian business reports where one business A was over $2 million in revenue. They had about $50,000 of corporate credit available to it. Business B was $395,000 in revenue, and they had about $265,000 of corporate credit available to it. So it's really about, again, that circles back to the utilization. So using it and paying it on time is how it builds.
Okay. And likewise, you know, to ruin it, I'm guessing it's just the same thing. Like if you stop paying your bills on time, everything starts to go down a black hole.
Yeah. Yeah. If enough accounts start to fall off, if you've, you know, the more things reporting to your profiles, the better. So if you can stretch it out and have, and monitor the cash flow and have, you know, 20 different accounts reporting, you know, spread your expenses spread across 20 accounts versus just one account, 20 things reporting positively every month is going to be much more beneficial than just having you do have a business credit card that does report. Well, just one small account is not going to continue to build that number for you.
So it's almost like there's three different flavors of credit. There's like strictly personal credit, you know, mm-hmm. my Visa card with my name on it. And, you know, some small business owners are using a personal card in their business for business purposes. Mm-hmm. And then we have, you know, a card that is a, you know, quote unquote, small business card, but it's still personally guaranteed by the owner, may have the business's name on it, like you mentioned yep. earlier. And then the third flavor is something issued strictly in the business's name. What things like leases on vehicles or equipment, stuff like that, is that, you know, something that you see quite often in that corporate credit space too?
Yeah, it's again, it circles back to the average small business owner not knowing how to develop that. So when they go to their dealership and they need to get a new vehicle for the fleet or whatnot, you can lean on them and push. Like we had an example of a testimonial video from a small company that worked with us, you know, through our program, developed their EIN credits. We helped coach them to their local dealership. They talked to the commercial financing office in there. And because their EIN credit was strong enough, they were able to finance a brand new work vehicle at, I'm going to get caught in the number, but 1.9%. And this was, you know, within the last 24 months. So it's generally, again, much more attractive, you know, if you time it right. So I'm not saying that you're going to build this credit and all of a sudden you're going to get, you know, 6% off your term loans or lines of credit or whatnot.
Well, that it sounds like that was a deal from the manufacturer's finance arm too, right?
Yeah.
So often they use these low interest rates just to move inventory. So right. Yeah. I've got a question here from one of the viewers. This is from Brad. And he says, how would someone that has established business credit remove their personal guarantee from an account? And he gives an example, let's say a business credit card, it's 8+ years of business credit, and there's a 93 score for Experian.
Sure.
So is there a plan for that, or is it possible, or what can we do?
Yeah, I mean, it would be a conversation like on the score. Obviously, they're looking at our Experian report. What is the? I guess we'd have to deem what the credit availability is of the entity at that point. Yeah, 93 score is fantastic. It's phenomenal. But what is the credit limit availability at this any given point? And if it exceeds where he currently is with the with the remainder of that account or whatever he's got left to pay on the note, then yeah, there can be a conversation with us to help connect the dots with a lender that will look at the corporate funding only to get that out.
Okay. So in Brad's question, he's talking about a business credit card, and I'm assuming what Brad is asking is, he's already got this card. Can he remove himself from it? But it may not be able to do that.
Yeah.
Right. What you're saying is that the answer may be to apply to for a different credit card product based strictly on the business's history to replace the one that has the personal guarantee.
Sorry, I missed I missed that connection on the credit card aspect of it. But yes, it would a business credit card. There is that it's in their underwriting and their contract, everything that just is attached to you. So looking at corporate credit card options would be the next progression then to get out of that personal guarantee. So start with a new vendor.
Yeah. And so when I worked with Amex, I was in the corporate card division. And one of the things that we would do is we would sometimes meet people that had the small business cards that were attached to themselves personally. And we would say, look, with this other solution, we can move it to a corporate only. But they were starting a new account. It was a new product, completely different. And Brad thanks you. He says, thank you very much. Thanks, Brad. Mark's got an interesting question here. He says, after your business credit is built up, is it feasible to use that to do a little bit of an exit by having the company borrow money and pay you back a few times over some years? So I guess what he's saying is, could you leverage up the company and then take that money out? What do you think? My guess is it has to do with the type of credit product.
Yes, of course. Yeah. I mean, if the goal is to pay yourself back because you lent the business money to build it, then you're able to do that. But again, you hit the nail on the head. It's the type of credit that he's looking to get out of it.
Yeah. So I mean, Mark, like, here's the issue is that even though a lender may be willing to give you business credit using just the EIN name, they're still going to be asking all the other lender questions like, what's the money for? What's the business case? Can you afford to make the repayment, et cetera? So oftentimes lenders will lend against things like you mentioned vehicles because there's collateral for it.
Right.
So that makes it a little bit safer. But just, you know, I want a $100,000 loan that I'm going to then remove the cash from the business and then my company's going to pay it back. You know, from a lender's perspective, that sounds obviously riskier because the money isn't being used to make the business better in any way.
Exactly.
Right. It's probably a little bit of a trickier situation. Although I have seen deals done where lenders have made loans to leverage up balance sheets and for people to take money out of the business, but it hasn't been strictly business credit.
Right.
There's been personal guarantees there.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So we talked a little bit, about the kinds of businesses that would probably have the easiest time of going down this path. Who are some of the more challenging kinds of businesses that you sometimes try to work with for establishing your corporate credit?
The challenge there lies in the vertical, and I guess what the business model is. I mean, if you're a coach or a consultant, and there aren't a lot of business expenses flowing through the business, then it's a little more challenging to build the numbers up because again, it is all about that utilization. So if you're not needing to utilize a lot of it, you can still build the scores and build the credit. It's just to see the most bang for the buck out of it. You know, I that $1 million plus in revenue type businesses are good ones for us to talk to. But, you know, I do work with startups. I've helped out a few franchises here in the Milwaukee market that had their SBA loan and weren't too happy with the interest rate. So they working with us was very attractive to then move it over to a credit vehicle when the credit is built that is not personally guaranteed. And that generally will be a better rate at that point. So it's the goal of how you want to utilize the money. I mean, or the credit, I should say. So it's, yeah, I mean, the verticals.
Can you talk a little bit more about that example? Because are you talking about an SBA acquisition loan, or maybe a loan that was used to buy some gear or something?
It was so they used it as an acquisition. So they bought three territories here in the Milwaukee market to start the business. You know, they were starting fresh. So it was, you know, capital for growth, expenses, and all equipment and all that stuff, the build out of a facility and whatnot. So it was all that type of acquisition, and they were, yeah, starting a company from fresh. So obviously, when you're starting a business from fresh, you have a lot of capital expenditures going out. So then, you know, working on building your business credit right away, as you're spending all this money, capture as much as you can, you're going to get a better jump on things to build that credit more rapidly.
Okay. And then they were able to use that in order to get a new loan to replace the SBA loan?
They're still in process, but yes, that is the goal. You know, in another, when was that? Another 6-7 months, they should be at that point where their credit is through our program. I should just say, because that's what our program is. It's about a 12-month runway to build this credit from nothing or wherever you're at to full corporate credit levels. So I'm just thinking in my head of when they enrolled. You know, so they have about 5-6 months left to go while they develop their credit. But yeah, that is the goal then, to look at, explore options of either clearing off the SBA from their personal guarantee or using the new credit of their entity to further the expansion of the business while they're still paying on that note, pending where rates land.
Okay. And so, you know, I guess the thing that, that we, you know, that I'm hearing is that, you basically what you're talking about is adopting a series of habits within mm-hmm. your business.
Yes.
If you follow these habits, it's going to start to lay the foundation for these opportunities to open up for you. But at the end of the day, I mean, there's no guarantees with this. I mean, every lender, every creditor is still going to make their own decision based on what you're trying to do at whatever point in the future.
Very true. Very true. Yeah, if you're talking to your local business bank or even, you know, the regionals and whatnot, working with a company like ours, we are tapped into a corporate lending network of about 100 plus different institutions that will, you know, write a term loan or a line of credit, a corporate line of credit or all different flavors of business funding against the EIN and, you know, some business assets. And depending upon, again, what you're seeking to get for capital.
Okay. And so you help people with the whole credit establishment habit set. Do you also then help sort of like act as a broker for some of those credit facilities too? Or do you just make the introduction?
We facilitate the introductions. Yeah. So okay. If somebody comes to us and says, yeah, we're looking at payroll financing or whatnot, we'll go into that network and say, here's 6 or 7 good ones. We'll make the introductions. You decide, you know, which is the best rates and what's going to work best for you. So it's more of a strictly kind of an introductory relationship there. But, you know, if we're that runway to get them a seat at that table to even talk to those lending institutions.
Okay. And so, you know, we've been hearing a lot in the news lately about, you know, how there are signs of recession in the economy. Are you working with any companies that are starting to have a bit of a hard time with cash flow or anything like that? Do you have any direct experience with seeing some of that stuff?
There's quite a few, you know, with some of my just cold outreach and stuff, and I just start talking about credit and things like that. They generally try to pigeonhole me in, okay, what can I get today? Because the banks are telling me no and everything. And that's kind of where we're caught in this trap, because even though you've been in business for 5-10 years, there's not a guarantee there's anything reporting, and you might not have anything available at this time. So, you know, then we're still looking at outside traditional banking, you know, with relationships with some brokers and whatnot that I've built in my network and able to help them in the more immediate terms. But yeah, credit's getting a little tight. I mean, I had an example of a farmer that I was introduced to, and they got in a bad spot because the bank they were working with, you know, they were going to get a $5 million loan for expansion or what have you, that they needed it. And their bank got bought up by a larger bank. And then all of a sudden the new bank says, well, we don't deal in agriculture. So there goes that loan out the window. And then you're left scrambling because you don't really have any other options. If you have that relationship with your bank, then, which is great. I mean, it's a needed relationship. You know, you need to park your money somewhere. But if and your banker could be your best friend, but if corporate says, no, we don't want to do that anymore, they can't help you out no matter how much you like you.
So, you know, like there's an expression that, you know, the best time to apply for credit is when you don't need it. Mm-hmm. Right. And I'm gathering from this conversation that the best time to go down this journey towards trying to establish a good corporate credit history is when everything is going well and all your bills are paid on time and yes. things are just running very smoothly, because that's when you're going to be able to make the best sort of impression as you work your way through this system.
Of course. Yeah. 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 I mean, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is today. Cause right. yeah, you hit the nail on the head. The institutions want to give you money when you don't need it, but when you do need it, then everything goes quiet.
So what are some of the big mistakes that you've seen people make when they're going down this journey?
It's I wouldn't say mistakes. It's just the lack of transparency out there on at what level different things are reporting and who's reporting, because it's a lot of research and time that's needed to be done. It can be done on your own if you have time to dedicate towards it and you are driven, go get in, this is your goal to build this, then yeah, it can be done. But with what we have in our software platform with Jay Galt is updated on the daily on who's reporting at which tier and what their underwriting criteria is and which bureau they're reporting to. So having all this knowledge in black and white in front of you is a major shortcut in doing this process.
So I guess maybe one of the missteps might be buying from a supplier, getting trade credit, assuming that this is helping you when in fact right. it may not be. It's yeah. it's really in selecting the proper suppliers to make yeah. sure that the behavior you're demonstrating is actually working to mm-hmm. to build that score.
Yeah, and if you're operating a business credit card, ask your institution, do they report to one of the business credit bureaus, and that they'll tell you yes or no. But so hopefully they say yes, and then it's just the misstep then again is a big one is making sure your profiles are set up correctly, like Dun & Bradstreet. They do give you a DUNS number when you incorporate and everything, but it's still a good idea to go into their platform and make sure everything's set up correctly and everything, the address is correct and whatnot. And that anytime you do open an account or something, I had a former client, a former client from my old position and now a client with Jay Galt. Started in the 80s, but he liked to do DBAs and he had six different DBAs when we pulled the scores, and he had six different DUNS numbers and six different profiles, all with not much reporting. But if everything was looped back and tied to the one EIN, it would have leveraged him much further ahead. So it's just keeping your accounts in order. Everything's same across the board all the time. If you move locations, make sure you're updating address with IRS, Secretary of State, all your vendor accounts, whether they report or not. It's just good practice to have everything on paper, cut clean, and all the T's crossed and I's dotted.
Because like you said, like if a business you're buying from is not reporting regularly your good behavior, they still may report your bad behavior. Or, and one of the ways to get dinged for bad behavior is if they're trying to reach you to deal with something and you're not replying because you mm-hmm. haven't updated your mailing address.
Right. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Andrew, how can people learn more about you if they're curious about what it might look like to work with you to get some help?
Of course. Yeah, no, I'm always free for a consultation and, you know, complimentary. I will pull a business credit report at our consultation. So if that's something of interest, that's something, you know, I provide at no cost. They could reach me. My email's on the screen here, acervenka@jgalt.io. Cell number works too, 715-663-0404. They can find me on LinkedIn, Andrew Cervenka. Website is jgalt.io/acervenka.
Awesome. Well, it's been great to have you, Andrew. And thank you. Thanks for everyone that joined us live. Thanks for the great questions from the audience. And we'll see you next time. Cheers.
So, how can you learn more about buying, selling, financing, and managing small and medium-sized businesses? Easy. Go over to my blog site, davidcbarnett.com, where you can learn more about me and how I work with my clients. You can learn more about my books and courses that I've prepared for you. You can find out how to subscribe to my email list, the YouTube playlists, and more. There's literally hundreds of hours of content there, all for free, and I'd love for you to be my guest. Special thanks go to Mark Willis at Lake Growth Financial, today's video sponsor. Mark helps people better manage their personal and business finances through the Bank on Yourself insurance strategy. This is something I've done personally and I've seen others use it successfully for years. Go to newbankingsolution.com to find all the interviews I've done with Mark and learn more about the advantages of these programs. While there, sign up for a free consultation to learn what this solution might look like for you.